Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips and
Molly Bay.
Well, got some big news today. Mike Smith got the axe.
Mike Smith.
Our defensive coordinator is gone. Got beat by his old team, and they decided we've had enough of him.
That was all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
The fans were really calling for it.
Oh, yeah. The fans and the media, the local media in Tampa, they're always calling. That seems like that's what the fan base likes to do.
Fire people.
Yeah, get somebody's head on a platter. We'll see if it turns out, though. I was never a big fan of Mike Smith's defense to begin with. You know, it was a little too soft for me, but I'm old school. I like mean, aggressive, hard-hitting, blitzing defenses.
Just didn't get that from the pinky ring salesman.
The pinky ring salesman, Mike Smith, is no more. That might be the end of his NFL career.
Oh, I doubt it. He'll go on.
Who's going to hire him? He won't be a head coach, that's for sure. He might end up as a defensive backs coach somewhere or something.
No, I think he'll be a defensive coordinator.
I'd be surprised. I mean, after
next
this
season.
After this show, I mean, he did not put up a good resume at 3 years of crappy defenses.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, Mike, good luck wherever you go, whatever happens to you.
The team is really kind of characterizing it as a promotion for Mark Duffner rather than the firing of Mike Smith.
I guess that's one way to look at it.
Yeah. So Cutter was a little terse in his press conference today.
What else is new?
Well, yeah, that's true. But he did look a little torn up about the decision.
Yeah, well, didn't he say it was the second hardest decision he's ever had to make or something?
Well, it was the second hardest thing he's experienced as a head coach. The first hardest thing was a player died.
Who died?
It was in Boise State when he was in college. One of his players died.
From football?
So, I don't know. He didn't say.
Wow.
But that was the first hardest thing he's dealt with as a head coach. So
this is on that level.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I mean, him and Mike Smith have been together for like 10 years. Yeah, back to the Jaguars.
And apparently it was Cutter's decision. Okay. It wasn't management. Okay. So.
Well, fantastic. Anyhow, all you fans out there that wanted the axe for Mike Smith, you got it. Let's see what happens. Hopefully our defense will get a bit stronger, more stout. But we won't know until next week.
Right. The Dirk said during the bye week they did self-scouting. They had a self-scouting period, I guess, for each side of the ball to kind of look at where they are, what they're doing wrong. And, you know, this was kind of the test to see if they learned anything from it. So apparently
he failed.
He failed that test.
Mike's not getting into college.
Duffner is being promoted, but he's still going to be the linebackers coach.
Huh.
And he's apparently the most experienced on the defensive staff.
Wow. That's going to be interesting because I've been saying this, that the linebackers have been kind of disappearing during the games. I'm not seeing them being, you know, because we have an outstanding linebacker core and they're just not living up to their potential. And so it will be interesting to see if he amps up their game or if he carries that on to the whole defense. And if he does that, then I'm not going to be too excited about him being defensive coordinator.
Right. I mean, you kind of think about the defensive line hasn't been performing. They haven't been able to get pressure. But you need the linebackers for that.
Yeah.
The front seven. If you're going to bring all seven.
Yeah. The linebackers have just really been a non-factor all year.
And then by the same token, if your secondary needs help, that's when the linebackers come in.
Yeah. Well, we got chewed up by Hooper in Atlanta. We got chewed up by McDonald in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
We got chewed up by Kamara in New Orleans. Those were all linebacker cover guys.
Right.
So we'll see. We shall see.
So Cutter said, we have to cover better, which we've kind of noticed during the games. I mean, the defensive backs that play so far off the receivers that they're just letting them.
Yeah, we never do any press coverage, ever, ever. I mean, every now and then you'll see the cornerback, or at least one cornerback, up on the line of scrimmage. But generally, they're, you know, 5-10 yards back.
We just watched the game right before this press conference. Right before this podcast, we did the condensed version. And it was like every single play. The Ryan Smith is backed up like 11 yards off the receiver. Like, you're going to let the receiver run up 11 yards? That means he catches the ball. He's picking up 11 yards. Like, how much sense does that make?
Yeah, there was a 3rd and 6 in the fourth quarter, and Brent Grimes is standing back 8 yards. He was behind the first down marker. And, of course, Julio Jones just does a slant and gets the first down. It's like, I don't know the philosophy, but maybe getting rid of Mike Smith will end that. But Brent Grimes has always done that ever since he's been here. And if I recall, he always did that at Atlanta, too. But I hate to see the other cornerbacks doing it as well. I don't know if they're copying him or if it was a coaching call or what.
Because they are a little bit younger than him. He's the most senior. Everybody's
a little bit younger than Brent Grimes.
So one of the reporters asked Dirk what kind of message he wanted the firing of Mike Smith to send to the players. And he got a little snarky with this one, I thought, which rightly so. This is kind of a stupid question.
Was it Jen Elaine that asked?
No, actually, she wasn't even there.
What?
Or I didn't hear her.
Yeah.
So he said, I'll keep that between me and the players. I'm not going to send messages through the media, which I like that.
Yeah.
I hate that when they go to the media and start barking. That's when a team really falls apart.
Yes. Yeah.
When you start using the media to fight with each other.
Yeah, you get offended and you're like, why didn't you come say that to my face?
Right.
Uh-huh.
So I do, for Cutter's, Cutter kind of has an attitude, but I like that he's never throwing anyone under the bus during the press conferences.
Mm.
He supports his players. Mm-hmm. It's good to see. It's just, you don't want to see that where there's, you know, they'll even ask, like, Catanzaro when he missed the extra point, and Cutter's like, well, you know, he made all these too, so it's like he really is going to bat for his players.
And yeah, he's always done that. And I've appreciated it because you don't want to see anybody get up there and bash their players because, again, that just causes resentment. And when you have a leader get up there and put all the problems on their shoulders, it makes you want to play harder for them.
Exactly. You feel supported. You feel some feelings in football. You know, you have each other's backs.
Yeah.
So, Gerald McCoy had a calf injury during the game. Cutter wouldn't comment on it, and he said, you'll hear about it on Wednesday when the injury report comes out. So, apparently he's still on the injury report.
Yeah, I don't know. Gerald McCoy,
can't stay healthy.
Well, you know, he has. First 2 years, he was a no factor. You know, had those bicep injuries, and then it seems like every year there's always something. He misses a couple of games. I mean, he plays 80% of the snaps on defense. You know, when he's out there, he's an iron man. But again, you know, this was an injury that took him out of the second half. But generally, he's not a factor in the second half. And he really needs to step up on that. I wish he would save his moves or his endurance or whatever for the second half, because that's when we really need him.
Do you think maybe he shouldn't be playing all the snaps? Like, what if they cut down his workload?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I do think he needs some competition in there. I mean, ever since he's been here, he's been the only defensive tackle, you know, the 3-tech. They've never had anybody have him compete for his job, you know, or, right, you know, a young whippersnapper nipping at his heels. And I think he could use that. I think everybody could use that. But, you know,
are they going to do that when they're paying him $16 million a year? Probably apparently not. So the last play of the game was pretty memorable.
Yeah, that last play was awesome. If it would have worked out.
Right.
They failed the first qualification.
Well.
They didn't.
So close.
So close.
Man, that would have been a good play.
Yeah.
But they've been practicing it all year, apparently.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They were looking forward to being down by 4.
Well, it's nice to have in your back pocket.
Yeah.
If you ever need it.
Yeah.
And they did say they'd use it again.
Letting everybody out there that we're getting ready to play this year, we will be using that play again. Just a heads up. Yeah, it would have worked perfectly, too, it was bobbled at first. Winston threw a bad, you know, the bad lateral or whatever you want to call it, and then it just turned into a mess. But Deshaun Jackson is the one that, you know, slipped up there at the end. He had it. He had a straight shot to go in end zone, and he started running before he got his hands on the ball, and boop, went right through his legs. So could have been a win. Well, Deshaun Jackson actually could have had a touchdown with about 6 minutes left, I think it was. Winston threw him a beautiful bomb, and DeSean Jackson didn't even put his arms out for it, and it was definitely catchable. If he would have done like number 18 did for the Bears, laid out and caught the ball, but I don't even think he needed to do that. I think all he needed to do was stick his arms out. He didn't even stick his arms out. And he was right in the end zone. He had beat his man. I don't know what that was all about, but I give DeSean Jackson a D for this game for just those two plays alone.
He seemed a little frustrated the whole game. Wait, you saw him at the end of the game. He missed the catch on that last play, but then, you know, he kind of threw a tantrum at the end of the game.
Yeah. Well, he should have been discouraged with himself there, right. That's for sure.
Levante, they had a meeting with him this afternoon, or an interview with him after the game, and they talked about the firing. It was new for all the players. They didn't give him a heads up. Cutter just kind of came out with it at a meeting.
Wow.
He just said, you know, Mike's gone.
Wow. That surprised everybody.
Yeah. It did kind of come out of nowhere. You really didn't expect it being week 6.
Yeah.
Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You got 2/3 of the season left.
Yeah, well,
almost.
It is what it is. We've got to move on.
I guess.
Hopefully the new guy will put some fire under this defense.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seemed like everybody in the locker room had a bunch of respect for Coach Smith. I never heard anybody say a bad word about him. Robert Ayers is really the only one after he left. He kind of ragged on the fact that they only had 2 calls they ever played on defense.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, he was over-exaggerating, of course, but that's the only bad word I've ever heard about Mike Smith. Huh. So.
Wasn't the creative type, huh?
I don't know. What I see on film, I saw some creative stuff, but I think it was just not executed well. He couldn't get the guys fired up right or something.
I mean, and maybe that's it. David did say that Duffner has lots of energy, positivity. Football's fun with him, so maybe that'll get the players performing.
Yeah, well, I think that's a key thing. You gotta have fun out there.
Yeah, and it seems increasingly they've just been frustrated. They're having a little less fun, more frustrated, because it's not like the defense is performing that much worse than they were the first couple weeks when we won.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the Saints put up 40-some points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our defense is averaging giving up 40-some points a game.
Right.
That's incredible. Yeah, we're headed towards being the worst team defense in the history of the NFL.
But, so, I mean, you watch them and we're not... Okay, the worst football we've ever seen is Raheem Morris's 2011 team. This team is nowhere near that bad.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, they just give up these big chunk yards.
Yeah.
I mean, they're giving up, you know, 15, 20, 25 yards just all the time. We got receivers wide open. And that's what I see on the film, is just too much confusion out there. Guys not doing what they're supposed to do. As you see it, you'll see 2 guys standing right next to each other while there's a receiver wide open, you know, 20 yards away from them.
I wonder if the coaches aren't really letting the players rely on their instinct. Because remember when, like, David, when we drafted him with Shiano,
right.
I mean, he was just a ball hawk, just flying all over the field.
And one of the best pure football instinct guys I've ever seen.
And you just don't see that.
No. When Lovie Smith came in and clamped down on David, and he just got all discombobulated, and it seems like it's still a lingering effect. I mean, David's making a few plays here and there, but he's not able to get off blocks, which was he was a master at that his first couple years, and he's not reading the field well. Though I will say this, Levante David was responsible single-handedly for giving Atlanta Falcons a 3-and-out, I think it was in the fourth quarter, so, you know, can't totally knock the guy, but he has changed a lot. You know, it's
a weird thing that we noticed during the Atlanta game was that the linebackers, they're not even trying to avoid blocks and blockers. They're just running up to the blockers, engaging with them. The play will be happening 3 feet to their right, and they're fighting with their, you know, the person that came out to block them. Like, the whole point is to avoid that person.
Right, yeah, that's what...
Make the play. Don't engage with that person. They're not trying to be shifty or aggressive. They're just kind of letting the offense call the shots.
Right, yeah. They engage way too much with blockers, and you know, I'm a big believer in football is blocking, tackling, and other things.
Those are the big ones,
blocking,
I think.
Blocking, maybe.
Blocking, maybe, that's a big
points.
Thing.
Blocking and tackling, you know, getting off blocks, being able to block, and it just seems like this team is not doing any of that well. So maybe this new defensive guy will, what's his name, Duffner?
Duffner. I think they call him Duff.
Duff Beer.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Yeah, maybe he'll get them back into the basics, man.
Cutter's after-game press conference on Sunday, so this is before Mike Smith gets canned, said that we lost the turnover battle.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time we got a turnover?
Gosh, I want to say Pittsburgh game. When Ryan
Justin
made
Evans?
That, or yeah, when Justin Evans made that interception.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say, I might not be right there, but we haven't had a turnover, I don't think, in the past two games.
Chicago?
No turnovers.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Winston had two yesterday.
Yeah, boneheaded decisions. I think both of them were his fault.
Yeah.
Well, the one in the end zone with Godwin. Winston just threw it too low. I mean, it bounced off the helmet of the linebacker.
Right, and Godwin's in the air.
Yeah, if he would have thrown it higher, Godwin would have had that for a touchdown all day. But again, I want to look at that on tape because how that wasn't pass interference, I don't know. Because Godwin never touched the ball, but yet he got tackled.
I mean, there were a couple of those that we saw during the game where we're like, why aren't you calling this? Julio Jones had a pick play.
Yeah.
Obvious. So obvious. And then Matt Ryan scrambled to pick up the first down.
Yeah.
Nothing called.
Yeah, but there was also quite a few penalties we had that weren't called, too. There was one where we stopped him on third down, and the way we stopped him was Levante David was covering the running back. Running back got past Levante David, so he just grabbed his jersey and pulled him straight to the ground. But that wasn't called, so man, I guess it all evens out. I wonder if refs do that. I wonder if they think, oh, I missed that call, so I'm going to have to let one slide for the other team. It just seems like it always works out that way.
We never have missed calls. We're perfect. Just look at our record. I don't know if this is true. I hope it is. Going into week 6 in the NFC, there were only 4 teams that had winning records.
Wow. That's crazy. Weren't we like the best division last, or the best conference last year?
No, it's the whole NFC. Oh, the conference, yeah.
Yeah. I want to say we had like 2 undefeated teams going in late. But Philadelphia was one.
Yeah.
And somebody else. Yeah, the NFC was the dominant conference last year.
Well, I guess you got the AFC with Kansas City just lighting it up, and then New England as usual.
As usual.
I mean, Pittsburgh, I don't know what their record is, but they're not. They're playing pretty decent football.
Didn't they get beat by the Bengals yesterday?
Yes, they sure did.
Yeah.
The Bengals, I think they're undefeated.
What?
I'm just talking at this point. Yeah, I think they're
I know the Rams are undefeated.
Yeah.
The Rams are going to the Super Bowl, man. I called that at the beginning of the year.
He's called that every year for like 6 years, so.
It's not true. I called the Texans for like 4 years.
Well, they're AFC.
Well, whatever.
You picked the Texans, Rams to go to the Super Bowl every year for like the last 6 years.
Well, this is my year, damn it.
This is for sure your year.
Rams are finally going to do it.
A broken clock is right at least twice a day.
That's how I plan on doing it. Who was it? The guy that used to call stumbling, rumbling. Well, it's not Berman.
That's before my time.
No, it's not. You ain't that young. Anyhow, he used to pick the Buffalo Bills every year to win the Super Bowl because he didn't during the 4 years that they went to the Super Bowl. So he picked them every year after that. And he said, hey, odds are in my favor.
Eventually.
How'd that turn out for you, Berman?
How's that working out for you, Ralph?
The Rams are going to the Super Bowl.
This year, for sure. So a few points from the game that we just watched. I liked seeing the running backs and the wide receivers. They would make a catch at the sideline and they would like tiptoe so that they didn't fall out of bounds so they could try to extend the play. It didn't work. I don't think it worked one time, but you like to see that, the effort.
Right, yeah. I don't like to see them run out of bounds.
Right.
I saw DeSean Jackson did it a couple times where he'd run out of bounds, but the rest of them, they would cut right back in. And Jameis Winston tried to do that, and he got clocked.
Which I like that. The Is this the one where Jensen got all up in the face? You know, there's kind of a little brawl on the sideline.
Yeah, a little scrum.
You like to see that.
I love to see it.
It's like that, the one in New Orleans from last year where Jameis is poking Lattimore in the back of the head, and then you see
Evan comes flying in
and just nailed Lattimore. I don't care about that penalty. I don't care about that.
Give me that penalty all day long.
Did he get suspended for that? Or fined?
I know he got fined, but I don't know if he got suspended.
I think he was suspended a game for that.
Wouldn't surprise me. Goody two-shoe NFL.
Right. I mean, come on. This is a contact sport, and you're going to get mad when they hit each other?
I know. I used to remember when they'd fight on the sidelines, when they'd fight after every play. Everybody fought all the dang time.
We need more fighting.
Some passion out there. But yeah, not upset about that at all.
Can we talk about our offensive line?
No, do we have to?
Ugh. I mean, all right. So we knock on Donovan Smith, I think, every podcast. But he wasn't even the worst one this week.
No. I'll tell you what. Beninock or Beninich or whatever his name is. Maybe we should start calling Caleb.
Caleb.
He is giving Donovan Smith a run for the money as far as bad offensive linemen. I mean, they're both going for the Turnstile Award. No doubt about that. And I think 77's got it.
I wish we had an instance where, like, Beninock and Donovan Smith are blocking Ali Marpet.
We got plenty of screenshots of both of them watching the play unfold.
Yes. Beninock was, I think, truly a turnstile. I can't tell you how many times I saw him get turned around.
Yeah. Spun around. Well, the guy that was going, that was the left defensive tackle, right defensive tackle, kept doing spin moves on him. And it was like Beninock thought they were dancing, so he was, oh, this guy's leading in spin, so I got to spin too or something. And he would just end up spinning right around. Don't know. It was weird stuff. But what we need to do is, you know, I'm not a big fan of firing players or coaches or anything like that, but we've got Evans that we're rotating in with Beninock. We just need to take Beninock out. Let him get some more reps on the practice squad or something. He needs more time.
So when you say Evans, you mean Evan Smith.
Yeah, Evan
we
Smith.
Have so many Evans.
We have got so many Mike Smiths,
Evans.
Too.
Yeah, we got Mike Evans. We got Justin Evans. We got Evan Smith. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
Number 62.
Yes, numbers. That's why I always say numbers, because you don't have to remember the names. Yeah, number 62 needs to take the place of number 77 for the majority of the game. You know, let 62 get in there, maybe for some run blocking. You know, get him some experience, because it just seems like he is woefully unprepared to take on professional NFL defenders.
Has Beninock been starting all season?
Yeah, he's been starter all season.
He hasn't played this bad
every game.
Really?
Yep.
I got so distracted by Donovan.
Watching Donovan, I know. He's always entertaining to watch because he does some of the silliest stuff.
But, I mean, we've got Donovan on the left side. We got Beninock on the right side. Winston doesn't have a chance.
No, that's why he has to scramble all the time. And these guys the defenders will get to Winston within 2 seconds. Between the two of them, somebody's always getting to Winston in 2 seconds. So
sometimes both of them are whiffing.
Yeah, I think we saw a couple of instances of that, too. When all 22 comes out, guys, I'll do the more of an analysis and give you more sad stories about the offensive line. But right now, just know, just from viewing the game, Beninock is a real liability, just as much as Donovan Smith is, if not more. Because, you know, when a defender comes around from the tackle position, there's a little bit more time the quarterback has. But when they come straight up the middle through the guard position, they don't have any time. So, did you notice that the stadium at Atlanta, and I mentioned this to you during the game, was like half full? Maybe 60, 65% full.
A lot of people dress as empty seats.
Do you get a discount if you come dressed as a seat? It was Halloween.
They don't even charge you.
Well, you know, is it a thing going around the league or something? Because I'm seeing a lot of that in the stadiums. I mean, you know, Tampa's had a hard time filling their stadium, of course, but you know, you can say that for the record. But Atlanta just went to the Super Bowl.
Right. And they built this new stadium.
They got this brand new, beautiful stadium.
I wonder if it's the kneeling stuff.
I don't know about all that. Hey, it could be. I mean, I know quite a few people that have just quit watching football because of that. But I don't know, man.
That many people?
Maybe it's just the price, and it's so easy and more comfortable to watch at home. Because going to games are expensive. I mean, what do we spend when we go? It's good.
I mean, I looked into tickets for this game, and to get even a decent one, it was, you know, $250 a person,
yeah.
And that we come from out of town, so that would be the travel expenses and all that, and then that's just to get into the stadium. That's not for the beer while you're in there.
Well, they got some of the cheapest concessions in the league.
Don't they
have
a Chick-fil-A?
They got a Chick-fil-A, which is funny because Chick-fil-A is not open on Sundays.
I know. And so, that one's no different. What's the point?
I don't understand.
That one Monday night game they get a year.
Yeah. Hey. They get to say they have a Chick-fil-A in their stadium.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like the Eagles have a jail in theirs.
How much would it suck, though, to go to an Atlanta game on a Sunday, and you got to walk by this damn Chick-fil-A that's all closed up.
And you're drunk as shit.
You're drunk. You're like, I want some delicious chicken sandwiches.
Waffle fries.
Oh, well. I don't know. Peyton Barber had a great game.
He did.
You know, I said that at the beginning of the year that he's going to be a good running back, and he has not shown his chops, but he did yesterday. He had some beautiful runs.
But, you know, how does that work in with the offensive line?
Right.
If they played so bad, how is he popping off all these runs?
Most of them were to the outside. A couple of them were to the inside, but they would bring the tight end inside to block. It was really strange how they did. As a matter of fact, I saw one, 82, Alclair. He came to block inside and fell down and like knocked two people over and left a big hole for Barber.
Oh,
he just
way to
ran
go,
right
all
through.
Clear. All yeah. right. All right. I see you.
Yeah.
So Peyton averaged 6.3 yards a carry, which is his highest of the season. He rushed 82 yards, had 24 receiving, so he broke 100 yards.
Wow. Is that our first 100 yard?
Yes.
But he didn't run for 100 yards. I think we had like 110 yards total with all the running backs in rushing. So I think we had a 100-yard rushing game finally.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. O.J. Howard did great. That guy's a beast, man.
How'd he do on your fantasy team?
I had him on the bench. Is that why you asked me?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I put Cameron Brate in because I didn't think O.J. Howard was going to play. Now, I got three tight ends on my team cuts. I picked up Cameron Brate because I didn't think that O.J. Howard was playing, and I didn't think that Olsen was going to play any good. Well, I was right about Olsen not playing any good because he's who I put in. And when they announced right before the game that O.J. Howard was going to play, I was like, oh, I don't know if he's going to play, you know, a lot of snaps or if they're just going to try and get him some work in. So I pulled both Brate and Howard and put Olsen in. I'm sitting there. I still won, so, you know, whatever. But I'm sitting there looking at O.J. Howard with 17 points on my bench. I think Olsen got me 5.
That hurts.
Well, I'll tell you who's going in next week. Juice. Give me some juice in my tight end. Godwin had a great game. I really, really, really like Godwin. He just seems like a guy that loves football. He's got some athleticism to him that we haven't seen in wide receiver position. Him and Humphreys just seem like football players. You know, the kind of guys, they do this for free. You know what I'm saying? They might even pay.
Yeah.
You know?
Godwin has, like, no personality, though. I could not tell you anything about him.
Yeah, see, that's something a girl would say. I would never even think about a player's personality.
You do all the time.
Yeah, but
you talk about, oh, I miss the days when players had personalities. Like, during the press conferences, they would come in funny outfits.
Yeah,
remember?
Okay. You got me.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, so I'm half girl.
You didn't know I listened to you sometimes, did you?
No, it really shocks me, actually. But you know, you only bring this out when you want to prove me wrong or make me look silly. Okay, well, it was a tough loss, but here's what I got to say about that. And if you've listened to this podcast any, you know this is my philosophy. It was a dang good game. At the end of that, the fourth quarter, I was jumping up and down, screaming and acting a fool. And that's what I like to do. Give me any excuse to act a fool and I'll do it. First half, I was depressed because it looked like they were just going to blow us out. But then the second half, we did good. Our defense stepped it up. We kept getting three and outs. And then we were marching down the field, which we didn't have a problem with the whole game. We just, once we got down there, we
couldn't capitalize.
Yeah.
But even in the second half, that happened.
Right, right. Winston's just, you know, he makes bad decisions. I love him. He's my quarterback, but he does make bad decisions. And, you know, he doesn't read the field well. But it was a dang good game. We almost won it. And it was entertaining. And when it comes down to it, that's what this is. Football is entertainment. And that was an entertaining game. Now, I am of the exact opposite opinion of most people. I don't want to win every game as a blowout. It's nice to win, but I don't want to sit there and watch blowouts on either side. I like a good competitive game. How do you feel?
I agree with that. I just want to point out that this is Winston's first full game.
Ah, good point.
Back in the seat.
Yeah.
So I think we need to cut him a little bit of slack for that. I agree that sometimes he makes dumb decisions, but he's got 4 or 5 less games than the rest of the team. So right. I think we just need to cut him a little bit of slack for that.
Good point. Good point, Molly. As usual, that's why I keep you around. All right, guys, to wrap up this podcast, we'll get another one out probably Friday with a full analysis of the All 22. And
the Cleveland game.
Yes, and we'll do a review of preview of the Cleveland game coming up, which, gosh, man, we got to win this one. We've got to. This is Cleveland. I know they're playing good football, but it's Cleveland.
We can win this one.
We got to. I thought we were going to win Atlanta. I really did.
Well, it was close. We almost did.
What was the final score? I predicted 42-38 we were going to win. What was the final score?
It ended up being 29-34.
I was a little bit off.
That's okay.
And we didn't win.
Well, can't be right all the time, I guess.
I'd be happy to do half the time. All right, guys, that's it for us.
We'll see you on Friday. Go Bucks!